Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the glorious name of Jesus, we come before you tonight, Lord. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, Lord, before you. We come as we are. We come, Lord, hallelujah, to lift you up. Lord, your name is so awesome and wonderful. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, this morning we got the new mercy that you poured out. And we thank you for that. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You are indeed, Lord,
hallelujah,
a shield and an exceeding great reward. A strong tower, and the righteous can run to it and be saved. You inhabit the praises of your people. We're glad about it. Thank you, Lord, for this day's journey. Thank you for the ups and the downs. Thank you for the joys and disappointments of a day with you. Lord, thank you, Lord, for canceling all our complaints at Calvary. Lord, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we praise you. Lord, how excellent, how majestic is your name. Lord, we come, Lord, just as we are, unfit, hallelujah, but yet trusting. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you've been wonderful. You have been awesome. And so thank you, Lord. Thank you for making our lives full of your presence, full of your grace, full of your peace, full of your joy. And Christ in us is our very hope of glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we're talking tonight about the path to glory. And Lord, we ask that you sanctify and bless what we talk about. Bless every soul that's on the call and every soul that will join. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you minister to every soul at the point of need. And Lord, you know what kind of direction your people need. So Lord, we depend on you. We trust in you. And we thank you. Lord, help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of you. For as much as we know that our labor in you is not in vain. Help us to put our priorities in and put you and the word of God, your very precious word, ahead of everything else. Lord, you have been good to us and we praise you. Lord, we ask your blessing on Bread of Heaven, on the business that we're going to talk about later tonight, and on every aspect of our walk with you together as a family, a local assembly of faith, Lord. We want your name to be glorified. And Lord, we want Bishop August, I am, all the leaders and constituents, assemblies, to come under your mighty hand, your hand of protection, provision, and excellence, and joy. Hallelujah. In all their endeavors, Lord, so bless. Thank you for tonight's gathering. In Jesus' name, amen. Our topic, as I put it in the band, and as I mentioned as I was praying, is the path to glory. We're going to go to a scripture in Romans 8, verse 18. We're going to start there, and we're going to work ourselves outward in different directions under the leading of the Lord, but we're going to focus on chapter 8 of the book of Romans. One theologian said that Romans, this is one theologian, I'm not ascribing to this, but I'm wanting you to hear what people who have studied the word are saying about the book of Romans and about chapter 8. One theologian, he's well known, said that the book of Romans was the most important book of the Bible, and the 8th chapter is the most important chapter of the Bible. I can't say that I agree with that, but I do recognize the importance of the book of Romans and this chapter. So we're going to take it up, the path to glory. The path to glory is in the spirit. The path to glory is attended by suffering, by ups and downs, by disappointment, by groanings that cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. And so the groaning and the suffering produces a path to glory. So, verse 18, Romans, the 8th chapter. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's a powerful statement. It's a statement, hallelujah, that maybe there's some part of us that don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear nothing about no suffering, right? And the suffering can take in many forms. A lot of it is us battling with our own sinfulness and flesh and isms and things like that. Some of it relates to relationships with other people, things people have done to us, people who have disappeared out of our lives. Sometimes, you know, you hear stories about people who, you know, one parent or the other, whether it's the mom or the dad, just took off, got fed up, and left them in the care of the other parent. That can produce a lot of suffering. Maybe an identity crisis, or maybe questions like, why didn't mom love me? Why didn't dad stay with us? Why did it seem like mom or dad loved the other siblings more? Why am I struggling with this, right? And sometimes we struggle with feeling alone when we're not actually alone. That can be the kind of suffering that in this present time that's not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. after a while, in God's due time, when we receive that other body after this earthly tabernacle is dissolves. And Paul here is reaching deep under the unction and the anointing of the Lord. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed with us. Now let me go, before we provide some focus on chapter 8 of Romans, let me go to a couple of, two or three maybe, other scriptures. 2 Corinthians, you should know where I'm going, 4:16-18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That means every day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That sounds a lot of like Romans 8:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And sometimes it's hard for us to focus on the things not seen because we are in this flesh. We are subject to our natural senses and what we observe. And sometimes we make up our minds about things without very much evidence because we're in the flesh. That's the whole problem with disinformation, conspiracy theories, is that people are human beings. Let me say human beings because I'm talking about the universal problem of the flesh. We'll jump on something and it feels good, and then two or three people say the same thing, and then it must be true, and we don't put it to the test, and we don't think that we could be wrong. And that's part of this groaning, this suffering, this tendency to come up short of the glory of God, that God wants us, hallelujah, to put on, be put on that upward path, the path to glory. But here it is, y'all. The path to glory goes through pain. It goes through suffering. Jesus could not be glorified until he had been spat on, beaten, arrested, betrayed by Judas. And Judas is sitting at dinner with Jesus and said, "Is it I, Lord?" Hallelujah. And he knew it was him. He had already cut the deal. That's the level of difficulty it is sometimes when we're dealing with the flesh, when we're dealing with what we want, when we are not surrendered all the way. And we're looking at it and we're looking at it, but there's a spiritual dimension of it. Hallelujah. That greatly outweighs of the temporal part. So a lot of times it might not be much consolation to us while we are going through, while we're hurting, while we're sick, while we're weak in our bodies, while we're feeling the pain of difficulties in relationships. It may not be much consolation for the word of God to tell us it's temporary and that it's going to produce a great exceeding weight of glory. That is not for nothing. That what you have gone through is not because God enjoys seeing you go through, but because he knows what's in us and he knows what it takes to bring out the best in us. Almost like, hopefully, if you ever had a good coach, right?
You go to practice, say it's baseball. No, let's say it's basketball. I think most people know more about basketball than they do baseball. And you automatically want to come out and start shooting some jumpers and some threes. And you want to put on a dribbling display, you know, and all that. And the coach said, run 20 laps. And if you still want to play basketball after that, we can start working on some drills. We can run some suicides. We can work on lateral movement. We can do some free throw and layup drills. We can learn some defense. We can learn how to take a charge. We can stay in front of our guy. We can spend time on the conditioning and the trouble that we go through, the suffering that we go through. It's not fun, but it is spiritual conditioning that puts us on that path to glory that the Lord wants us to be on. And we have to remind each other and encourage each other. I looked at my friend Elder Matheny publishes, he calls it a podcast. Whenever he can, whenever he feels up to it. He did one yesterday or the day before, and it hurt me to see him so frail, right? So, but on that broadcast, on that podcast, he's praising God, he's reading scripture, and he's got another younger man there. He's got his daughter there. His daughter's always there. And then this other younger man who I happen to know is a bishop and a barber. And it looked like my man had a fresh cut, Elder Matheny. So the man done come up there to cut his hair and to kind of tag team in case he got tired. And he got tired real quick and he looked so frail. He praised the Lord. Then the other man took over. Then they closed it out. And our light affliction. Certainly, we don't call it light. Elder Matheny has leukemia. It doesn't look light to me. It's not light to his family. It's not light to his church. It's not light to his family. And I happen to know, and y'all pray for this situation. After talking with Suffragan Bishop Larry Smith, who's close with him, that they're thinking about selling the building and closing down the church, which is his life's work. Well, God is good. God is great. There's a measure of suffering going on. And there are people who are not kind when we go through things. There are people who are kind. Praise God for that. But it produces something. Hallelujah. How we go through it. It's not just what we deal with, but it's how we deal with it. Do we continue to praise God? Do we continue on our road? Do we continue to do what we can for the glory of God? Do we live godly? Do we realize we live a life where our complaints have been canceled at Calvary? Do we realize that there's no reason, no matter what may come or go, for us to be disgruntled in the kingdom of God? That we have a way of escape with every temptation. There's a way of escape. We can go to the Lord. We can go boldly to the Lord, to the throne of grace, and tell God all about it. And that's a wonderful thing. And in our humanity, just listen to me, saints. In our humanity, there are times we wish we had a human being we could tell certain things, be completely transparent about. Sometimes sin goes unconfessed, at least in terms of our human realm, because we can't find anybody we trust to tell it to. And so the old song they used to sing, I must tell Jesus, well, that's always a staple. We always have that. We always have a way of escape. Hallelujah. And God provides for us. You can't be resurrected from something until there's a crucifixion. You can't be glorified unless you have been brought low. You can't really, really be humbled unless in the course of your life you find out what humiliation feels like. And we go day by day and we trust the Lord. And sometimes we our best endeavors come up in a different way than what we envision. And, you know, sometimes there's the word of God teaches us that God has no respect of persons, but people do. And it can hurt when you're not the favorite, right? And we have to just press through that and go on. Hallelujah. And God makes a way. I don't know. I was never anybody's favorite in terms of church. I never had a pastor that made me feel like I was the favorite. So what? Hallelujah. I had favor with God. I knew how, hallelujah, to be faithful. I didn't understand that faithfulness put us in a position to receive and operate in the favor of God at that time. But I knew that faithfulness was important. Hallelujah. My mother had taught me that, not from the Bible, but in terms of your character, in terms of how you deal with people, in terms of not being a fair weather friend to somebody, in terms of sticking with people when they go through trouble and when they're down. Hallelujah. Just basic things that I learned, not necessarily from the Bible. Hallelujah. And so that's why when we went to Columbus for law school, by God's grace, got a scholarship, praise the Lord. And we joined up with a church that our pastor had recommended, an apostolic church open in the name of Jesus. We had a bishop as our pastor, an 80-year-old man. He was something else. He could preach. And I enjoyed being under his ministry. Hallelujah. That's why when they opened the doors of the church, even though I could have been studying from law school because it was very competitive, I was there. Something in me knew that faithfulness counts, but I didn't understand it. I couldn't explain it. I might could locate a scripture for you, use a concordance and find a scripture for you back in those days. But I couldn't tell you what faithfulness meant in terms of the favor of God on Daniel, refusing to eat the king's food, refusing to be brainwashed. In terms of Joseph, faithfulness, not touching Potiphar's wife, not complaining, having favor with the keeper of the prison, not feeling sorry for himself, hallelujah, when the butler forgot him. And then when the dreams came, and I don't hear him ever complaining about what his brothers did to him. But I do hear him say, under the leading of the Lord later after things developed, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And it's hard for us to believe that God means something that could be so painful as that kind of betrayal and that kind of hardship and being thrown into prison on a false charge of attempted rape in a situation where he was kind of on it alone, Joseph was. Perhaps there's a language barrier. There's certainly a cultural barrier. And the name of his father meant nothing down there. And even though he was a man, his dad was a man of renown and stature, his name meant nothing at that time. in Egypt, and God required Joseph to have the attitude like this: God, it's me and you against the world. And sometimes it gets like that. And sometimes people go through things together but separately, right? When, say, my dad passed away in 2008 on Palm Sunday, my sister, my brother, and I took it differently. Our younger sister had previously passed, but we took it differently. We were all hurt. We all took it differently. And then some things grew out of that. There was a lawsuit by my siblings. Not gonna dwell on that. I wasn't in it, but they tried to drag me in. And I wanted to be faithful. You know, that was my desire. Sometimes we come up short, don't we? Sometimes we don't have the energy. Sometimes we want to go another way. We want a shortcut. We want to get out of the pain. We want God to not, you know, we're on the potter's wheel. We want, okay, this is hurting. You know, go ahead and do what you're going to do and get me off this wheel. And it's a path to glory. Yeah? The scripture tells us that. It is a path to glory. I'm going to read Romans 8. I'm going to interject a little bit. We've seen it many times. I'm not going to break off something, some new revelation. I am going to give you something that I believe is fresh for your souls, but a blessing for your souls. And even if everything's going good with you right now, hallelujah, sometimes just not having the kind of fellowship and that we crave can be a hard thing, right? Praise the Lord. So some of you may know that when we join I Am, hallelujah, I'm not going to say I was cut off from the other churches that I had fellowship with for decades. But it got a little different. I'll just leave it at that. Like I said, I don't have any complaints. I'm glad we went with I Am. It's been, I can't even describe the amount of blessing that it has meant for me. But there was a price associated with that. Hallelujah. And we just go on in the name of the Lord, and there's a benefit of it. And we ask God to help us. And the thing about it is to be faithful. Just to be faithful. When you don't know what else to do, be faithful, right? Something going on between you and somebody in your family, just be faithful. Try to fix it if it's not coming out right. But be faithful. You know, don't get drawn into the whatever's going on. Don't leave your place of faithfulness because there's an emotional component or whatever to what you're going through. Just trust that God sees you. God cares about your struggle, your pain, your disappointment, and he stands ready to delight and to bless you. And, you know, one of the wonderful things is that we get to walk in the afterglow of some things, right? Things that we didn't initiate, mentors we have, praise God, lessons we learned, pastors we had who deposited stuff in us, and maybe they go on to be with the Lord, but yet there's an afterglow. And sometimes you just sit around and laugh and think about some of the great things that they said and did and the example that they showed and the wisdom. Hallelujah. And you know, one of the things God has blessed us with, saints, is I doubt very seriously if anybody on this call had an older pastor who didn't have a big education would make a big deal out of them saying things that shows they don't have an education, right? We would just take it for what it was, you know. They could mispronounce this or that. I know y'all kind to me. I make mistakes. I mispronounce. I split some verbs and stuff like that. And y'all are kind to me, and I think. But those old saints, those old sisters beating on the tambourines, legs hurting, knees hurt, they could stand up and praise long as I could. I call myself an athlete. There's something about faithfulness in your walk, praise God, that moves even hard-hearted people. Pilate could see something in Jesus, and he was troubled and had dreams and all that, and he couldn't put his finger on it, but Jesus was just as cool as a cucumber. They had beaten him, and he said, "Are you king of the Jews?" That's what you say. He was faithful to his stance. He was faithful to his mission. He knew he had to go to the cross. He knew that the Comforter would not come until after he had been crucified, resurrected, and glorified. Hallelujah. He had to stay with it. Praise God. And we are cautioned by the scripture to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now, no, now that Jesus has come, now that Jesus has died, now that that blood streamed down the Calvary cross, now that he was raised the third day, now, hallelujah, that he took his disciples on a 40-day excursion of truth. Hallelujah. Now that he ascended, now that the Comforter came in his name, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We got to see something beyond what we see. Hallelujah. And sometimes I want to ask the saints this: do you see what I see? Do you see what Paul saw? Do you see what the Lord is trying to do, hallelujah, through the unseen part of our life and experience as we traverse this pilgrim journey? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. And hallelujah, it's good to be free from me sometimes. Hallelujah. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, what the external commandment of thou shalt not could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Hallelujah. It required external compliance. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Hallelujah. But there was no sin in him. But he looked just like everybody else. That's why Judas had to kiss him to betray him. He didn't stand 9'9". He looked like the other guys. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in flesh. Hallelujah. Praise God. He came in flesh to condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, the spiritual unseen power of the law, the spirit of the law, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Praise God. This past Saturday evening, I was struggling with some, hallelujah, and I was almost getting ready to board that struggle bus, and then I got a beautiful text from overseer Hycal Brooks. And it was something. He sends me texts from time to time, maybe two or three a month or whatever. And they're always uplifting, but this was in a different way. He talked about my wisdom. I didn't know I had displayed any wisdom. I'm just Pastor Perkins, I'm just trying to do right, trying to do the right thing, trying to treat people right, trying to walk in the spirit, right? But he said something about my wisdom. And of course, I was struggling with a decision about something. And so that was uplifting to read that text. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. What do you think about? Mind the things, tend to, pay attention to, give time in your thought life of the flesh. So when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you think about? Don't tell me, because it might not be something godly. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, we got to pursue this thing. We got to chase it. We got to go hard after God. For to be carnally minded, I remember the first time I really focused on this verse, it messed me up. To be carnally minded is death. That part hit me. Then the other part hit me too. But to be spiritually minded is life. And that's the kind of life Jesus talked about. I came that you might have life in that more abundantly. And peace. Hallelujah. And when you get my age, peace, it's one of the best things you can ever have at this point. I don't know anybody who wants their life to be an uproar all the time. I don't know anybody. And, I've had the privilege to minister to men, sometimes young men, sometimes older men, sometimes in my age group. And when men get to a certain age, and it varies per man, you don't want no drama. You'll shut down before you deal with the drama. And that's what happens in a lot of relationships. One person, it could be wife or husband, is bringing the drama. The other person, I don't know what to do. I'm going to shut down. I got to get through this tirade. I got to get through this. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But we're not always, it's not always black and white, is it? We can be carnally minded and spiritually minded all in the same day. Start off strong, right? And then something happens, something take you by surprise. And then I put it like it, then the Preston Taylor Projects, be saying, let me in, coach. Because the carnal man is enmity against God. That's strong. That's set in opposition against God. It's not just I'm coming up short because I don't have the spiritual seasoning. No, it's rebellion. It's enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. And when somebody's not subject to something, you see some crazy, unaccountable behavior. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Ooh, that's strong. You can't please God. You can give your body to be burned. You could take a mountain by the power of your gifts and throw it into the sea. But if you are in the flesh, if you're not operating in the love of God, hallelujah, because the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts by the power of the Holy Ghost. If you are operating in something other than that, the flesh cannot please God. It's spiritually impossible to please God. No matter what kind of displays you put up. Hallelujah. And that's why I'm convinced God didn't give me a good singing voice. Because I'd be at the church, I'd be singing. Y'all be saying, when the pastor gonna preach? You know, be up there singing, laying flat on my back, putting on shows, have a spotlight installed in the section. It'd be a mess. God knew. Hallelujah. They that are in the flesh cannot. I don't know how much stronger that can be. Please, God. You know, the scripture where it talks about there's a great gulf. Hallelujah. You just can't please God. You can't cross that threshold of pleasing God if you're in the flesh. That's rough. That's tough. I don't know if I'm all that excited about that truth, but that's true. It's true in how. Cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, this is strong, he is none of his. I just wonder how many millions of people say they belong to Jesus, but don't have his Spirit. And Paul puts it plain. You are none of his. And isn't that a terrible feeling? Sometimes, you know, like on a movie, say a dad will say to the child, you ain't my child. Might be their natural child. You ain't mine because you don't please me. You didn't join my business. You out there singing poems. Stuff. I want you to run this business. You ain't mine. You can't be mine acting like that. Oh, how terrible, how horrific to be rejected by your very own father. And what about being rejected by your very own heavenly father? It says, he. And that is not gender specific. It means he or she is none of his. I did this. I fed the poor. I helped little old ladies across the street. I used to cut the neighbor's grass for free. I spent money. I fed people. And if Christ be in you, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, you can talk big talk, but your life is going to show whether you are in Christ or not. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And everybody on this call wants to be caught up in the catchaway of the church. Therefore, brethren, we as debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Hallelujah, praise God. He's saying, you don't owe this fleshy system anything. Hallelujah. You're to live after the Spirit, and mortify, put to death, execute the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So you get the picture of something like, have you, this is sad, but some people have conditions. Let's use a thing, let's use something like gangrene as an example, where you have a terrible infection in your lower leg and your foot. And they say, we got to put that part of your body to death. We got to cut that part of your body off, or your whole body will die. Well, so is the thing about trying to hold on to things that we know are fleshy, not pleasing to God. And we don't want to do that. And it's a hard thing, y'all. Hallelujah. It seems rough. It seems unloving. Hallelujah. For God to require this of us. Hallelujah. But there was a price paid on Calvary that we could not ever repay. And no matter what half of suffering we go through, it's not worth that. Because if you go through some suffering, you might not even in the natural sense have done something so bad to receive the suffering you have, but you are not without sin. Jesus was without sin, and he was made sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so no other human being can go through what he went through, because we have all sinned and come short of his glory. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What's leading you? What you want? What you think? What you imagine it ought to be like? Your pride? What's leading you? For ye have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear. God didn't give us that, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. Hallelujah. Dad, dad. It's doesn't translate it dad, dad, but it translates as intimacy. Father, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. This thing of suffering with Christ. I mean, there's points in my life I wish that wasn't in the Bible. The scripture of Paul, in the third chapter of Philippians, talking about the fellowship of his suffering. My flesh doesn't want that. My mind doesn't want that. But when you live long enough, you find out that there is suffering. Hallelujah. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be even compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That speaks of multiplication. That speaks of exponential expansion. That's like dropping a drop of blood in the ocean. That's your pain. But there's a whole big ocean there. Not compared with the glory that shall be revealed. For the earnest expectation, let's get deeper here, of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This corruption must take on incorruption. This mortality must take on immortality. For we know, this is just, we've read it before. It's not like I'm telling you something new. For we know that the whole creation groaneth. That means the little groundhogs out in the field, the trees, everything that God created, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, we groan in too, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. It just gets hard sometimes. Hallelujah. Despite our best intention, despite the purity of our heart on a particular moment. Hallelujah. It just gets hard. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have hope, hallelujah, in what God has promised. A mansion up in glory, a down payment, the Holy Ghost, the earnest of our redemption, the down payment on our mansion up in glory. Hallelujah. But we don't get it all now because we hope for the rest. When you see God blesses you to make a down payment on a home, hallelujah, that's just part of it. That's just to hold the house. Hallelujah. You can't go in it once you pay the down payment. You got to go through a close. In our lives, we have to go through a closing, hallelujah, to get all the glory, hallelujah, the power of the full redemption, the blessings of what God is trying to do for us. But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are times we don't even know how to pray. We might know what ails us. We might know, have an idea, Lord, I'm all messed up today. I need some help. I can't get my foot, and I want to talk to somebody, but I don't have anybody I trust. I can't pour my heart out. I'm pouring my heart out to you. But Lord, I ask you to give me some relief. Hallelujah. And then we get to a point where we just like, I don't know what else to say. And then the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth. Hallelujah. I'm so glad God does some searching. Hallelujah. Because I need to be searched. Hallelujah. I need God to get to the root of the matter, know if what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. We know, oh my God, he's working it together. Hallelujah. He's sculpting us, hallelujah. He's taking our trouble and molding us, hallelujah. The enemy or somebody meant it for good and God shaping it, hallelujah. Meant it for evil and God is shaping it for good. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them also he also glorified. It's a path to glory. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, can be against? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Whom shall lay anything to the charge of God? Elect. It's like Isaiah said, no weapon formed against you. And when they try to put their tongue on you, who shall lay anything to the charge of God? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also have intercession for us. When you see something about Jesus being on the right hand of God, don't see two people. Don't see two beings. Can there be two that are almighty? There can only be one that's almighty. It is an expression of the authority of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That he is the access way. He that broke down the middle wall of partition. He that, hallelujah, is our Jacob's ladder. He that is the way, the truth, and the life. It is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make an intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And you upset about little things. They're talking about persecution, the famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Hallelujah. And we upset, hallelujah, because somebody called us a name. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We are treated like, we are reckoned like. People have been talking about us, and they have talking about us like we sheep for the slaughter. But it says, verse 37, no, nay, hallelujah, we are not sheep. No, nay, in all these things, we are more than, we're not sheep for the slaughter, conquerors through him that loved us. So don't get bent out of shape about what somebody says or what they think. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Hallelujah. Even your past can't separate you from the love of God. And it could have been bad. I mean, really bad. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask your blessing. Lord, we ask us to keep us on this path to glory. Help us, Lord, hallelujah, to crucify our flesh and put our flesh to death. Hallelujah. And to not take things the way that we take them. Let us get disgruntled in your kingdom, in your church, in the fellowship of our brothers and sisters. Don't ever let us get, hallelujah, to the point where we think we have a complaint. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for being an awesome and a mighty God. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, you know what we face. We know, hallelujah, you know all about us. You know what obstacles we have. You know all about the disrespect we receive. But you know us. You have searched us out, hallelujah. You know where we really belong. You know who we really are. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you for being a mighty and awesome God. We ask that you touch everybody on this call, that you bless, Lord, that you prick the hearts of your people through your word. Hallelujah. And Lord, you know, take down this spirit of boycott. Hallelujah. That sometimes, hallelujah, is impressed on my spirit as we talk to the people of God. Hallelujah. If you don't cover this in this scripture, that spirit of turn off, that spirit of I've heard this before, that spirit, Lord, deal with that in our assembly and among our brothers and sisters, that spirit of boycott, that spirit of disappearing. Hallelujah. People just disappear sometimes. Don't say anything to me. I trust they're talking to you, Lord. Hallelujah. That spirit of disappearing, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm not going to support nothing. If it's not exactly like I want it, then I'm going to leave. I'm not going to work on it no more. Whatever that is, Lord, we ask that you deal with that in a loving way. Hallelujah. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us to be grateful. Hallelujah. And use us, Lord, to reach other people. Hallelujah. And Lord, help us to do everything in decency and order for your glory. And Lord, help us to respect, hallelujah, the people that you have put in our paths and put in positions of authority. Lord, help us to act the way we should. Hallelujah. And help us to understand that it's no skin off of our back. We're not diminished, hallelujah, by respecting other people and showing them, especially people in leadership positions or whatever. Help us to get that black person stuff out of our system. And help us, Lord, to get that Jesus person stuff in our spirit. Lord, you know what we deal with. So we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Living Bread.
Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.
Bread.